Amen. Now, we need to pray for a miracle this morning, because this message that the Lord's laid on my heart, I originally preached a couple of years ago in our church when we were back in the UK. And what I want to share with you this morning, it took 8 weeks. I've got to put it into 30 minutes. So we need a miracle. Now, to be fair, what I'm going to share this morning took 3 weeks, but I took it as a series on over 8 weeks. I want to look at this morning about the dangers of becoming distracted. Now, if you saw my Facebook post yesterday about the chocolate, the record-breaking attempt in Valletta over this weekend, I don't want to disappoint you, but I'm not preaching about chocolate this morning. It's about it's more about along the lines of the record-breaking attempt. It's about breaking records, becoming distracted, because we are called to live a life of faith. And we've just read the scriptures where it talks about the race of faith, particularly here in Hebrews 12, where it says that we must run our race with endurance. Now, I've never really been much into sport. When I was growing up, I never liked sport that involved a lot of running around, mainly because I couldn't run. Every time I tried to run, my ankle would give way, and so I gave up on sports that included a lot of physical running around. So things like rugby, football, all those types of sports, I never got involved in, I never played. I was king of the ping pong table. I can handle a snooker cue. I like a bit of tennis. That's about as active as I can get. But I was never really into all that. I like to watch sport. That's smart. I'm a spectator sports person. I particularly like athletics. I like to watch the tennis. And one of my key highlights certainly in the UK sporting calendar, you may not have heard of it here in Malta, but I like to watch what we have in the UK every April. It's the University Boat Race. Yeah. And for those of you that are wondering, I'm light blue. lived in Cambridge for 30 years, or Cambridgeshire for 30 years, and we just became light blues. But I like those type of events. I like to see the determination when they're pulling the oars. You know, when you see the athletes running their race, there's determination in them. You know, one of the greatest athletes, in my opinion, was a man that, and his key milestone event was this, in 1954, on the 6th of May, the day after my birthday. Not that I wasn't born in 54, but I was born a few years after that, but 6th of May, in Oxford, this young athlete, Roger Bannister, he broke through the 4-minute mile. You know, in a recorded interview with him sometime later, you know, he was recalling that, and he said, you know, you've got to have your mind fixed on the winning post. You can't allow yourself to become distracted when you're running a race, particularly in a record-breaking attempt. You know, there has to be that focus without distractions. Another athlete that I like, not so much a physical athlete, but this is a sailor, a rower, a young girl, Derbyshire lass, you know, born not far from where we lived once in Nottinghamshire. Her name was Ellen MacArthur, or is Ellen MacArthur, now known as Dame Ellen MacArthur. You know, she was the first, the fastest solo female sailor to circumnavigate the globe, and she achieved that in February 2005. The day after that, on the 8th of February, she became the youngest person ever to receive the award, Dame Commander of the British Empire. You know, what an achievement, what an accomplishment. You know, and it wouldn't have happened without determination. If she got distracted in the race, she would never have completed that course. You know, and Paul Wright, or the author, I don't know whether it is Paul, but I believe it to be Paul, but the writer to the Hebrews writes here in chapter 12. He says, look, he says, we have been surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So therefore we must lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. And we must run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, this race that we are involved in, and Paul often used the analogy of the athletics. He used in his writings, he wrote this quite a few times through the New Testament, we read about running a race or being involved in athletics or doing some type of exercise. You know, when I first learned to play any musical instrument, it took hours of practice. I sat at the keyboards for an hour every night of the week, learning to play, professionally coached. But we had to practice, had to put the practice in. When I first learned the guitar, I sat for hours strumming. And I can tell you, those that play instruments like that, you'll know what I will say when I couldn't feel my fingers for 3 months. You know, I put in the practice. But if I hadn't put in the practice, I wouldn't be able to play. You know, and if you're not determined to get through, to run your race, you'll never finish the course. If you allow yourself to become distracted, you won't make it. You know, and if we knew the race that was set out for each and every one of us, if we knew it beforehand, you know, we would perhaps say, well, don't pick me, pick him, pick her, pick somebody else. I don't want to run that race. You know, God didn't choose you to run your race based on what you can do. He didn't choose you on your ability, on your intellect. He didn't choose you because of your talents. He didn't choose you because of your status or your standing. He chose you because it's the race that you must run. It's your race. It's the race of faith. You know, you can't run this race on your own because it takes faith in God. That's why we must look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because it says there, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. You know, we heard the other night, or the other, whenever, a couple of days ago, whenever it was, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus agonized over the cross. You know, he agonized on what the price that he had to pay, and we've remembered that this morning. You know, the Bible says that he sweat drops, as it were, blood. You know, he was in agony. Perhaps not necessarily physical agony, but mental agony. You know, as he faced the cross, he knew what had to be faced, and he surrendered, and he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what? There was an opportunity there in the Garden of Gethsemane for Jesus to become distracted. But he had a race to run. And he had to see it through to the end. You know, and this verse here in Hebrews 12. You know, this is not a shift in the subject matter. The writer to the Hebrews isn't changed. He's not suddenly talking about athletics. He's continuing, you know, because this chapter starts with one word. Therefore. And therefore always ties it to the preceding thought. If I said something, so therefore, you've got to know what I said beforehand to know what I'm talking about. And here Paul says, therefore we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He's talking about the men and women of faith that were listed in chapter 11. These heroes of the faith. These men and women who, when it was raked through to us, you know, there was mighty things took place. And it says they had great achievements, great accomplishments. And then the writer here, he says, we've got all those as our examples, all those witnesses, all those men and women, all those patriarchs. You know, and that doesn't just, we're not just talking about the patriarchs. You know, all those men and women, perhaps that have been since the scriptures were written down. You know, those men and women of God that paved the way, that ran their race. It includes people like your loved ones that have gone before you. You know, they run their race. They fought their fight. They accomplished what God set out for them to do. You know, they are there as well in that number. And what are these witnesses doing? Well, what happens in any race? They gather around, don't they? Cheering on their team. Have you ever been at a sporting event where it's been absolutely silent? Well, perhaps those events where silence is necessary. You know, because it put the players off, those solo events, things like snooker, you know, that's deadly quiet. You go and watch those. You go to a snooker match, you say, not a word. But you go somewhere like the football stadium. Have you ever heard anybody stay completely silent during the match? Why? Because they're cheering their team on. They're getting excited. You know, and that's what these patriarchs are doing, these men and women of faith, these witnesses. You know, they're cheering on the runners in today's race. You know, because it says there in the end of chapter 11, it says, God provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You know, there's something about our race. Talking about this, our race is, it's not really a marathon. It's more like a relay race. Because a relay race is a solo race, but it's also a team event. And a relay race is normally over 4 laps. The first runner picks up the baton and he runs. He can run so fast and so well. And he passes the baton on to the second person. The second person then picks up the baton and he runs. And he runs his race and he passes on to the third baton, the third person, who then takes the baton and runs his lap, and he passes it on to the last person. Now the whole race is hinged on the last person. Because if the last person drops out of the race, the whole team loses. Doesn't matter how well 1, 2, and 3 have run. They could have had record time. But if number 4 flunks the race, the team loses. You know, and that's really the essence of what's being said here. Because these men and women of faith, you know, they can't be made perfect apart from us, because they're waiting on us to run our race. We've got to run our race, and we've got to be determined. We've got to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, talking about distractions. You know, it says here in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says that we have, because we're running out, we've got to lay aside every weight. Now, no person involved in any athletics or no person involved in any sport just turns up and plays. You've got to train. You know, a little while ago, a few months back, I got home from work one evening and I went up into the bedroom and I looked at the glass. Went to look through the glass and I saw this man. He was quite, let's say he wasn't a very fit fella. A little overweight. And he didn't look the perfect specimen. It was only then when I suddenly realised I wasn't looking at the window, I was looking at the mirror. And I thought, something's got to be done about this. And it took a lot of determination. You know, I didn't always look like this. there's been a few months of faith working and determination and watching what I eat and taking regular exercise. You know, and in those few months I've lost nearly 2 stone. But it took determination, and it's still taking determination. I still like a donut. I still like chocolate. But it takes determination. But you don't just turn up and play in a race, in a game, or run a race. You know. But what else? I started to do exercise. You know, and I thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll just go out for a jog early in the morning. Well, I could hardly get out of the garden. Took a few steps from the house to our garden gate, which when we lived in the UK, and I thought, well, I can do it, because we lived by a canal, and I thought, let's run along the canal, and run along the canal. It took me all my effort to get to the borders of the property. But I thought, well, You can't just start a regime. You've got to do it gently. You've got to train. You've got to have a strict diet. You've got to wear the right kit. You know, you don't see football players playing in their trousers and their jackets. They strip down to shorts and vests because they have to wear the right equipment. They've got to have the right mindset. You know, weights are those things. And weights are not necessarily wrong. But they're anything that will hold us back. Pull us down and hold us back. They make it uncomfortable. And we're told here to strip off every weight. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, sin is wrong. Weights are not necessarily wrong, but they may hinder our progress. Let me just give you a few thoughts this morning. You know, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, look, he said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. That means that's a weight. If it's not helpful, it's a weight. It will hold us back. It will pull us back. It will prevent us running our race. But we've got to lay aside those things. Distractions can be weights, or they are weights, definitely weights. Now, a distraction may not necessarily be a sin, but it will hold us back. It may be a situation that we suddenly find ourselves in, like Peter when he was on the Sea of Galilee, and they saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, Lord, if that's you, he says, tell me to come to you. You know, a distraction. He looked at the wind and the waves, and that took his eyes off of Jesus. The Bible actually says, if you look it up in, I believe it's in Mark's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel. It's in Matthew 14. If you look it up, you'll actually find it says, he saw the waves. He saw the boisterous sea. He took his eyes off of Jesus. A distraction might be a natural ability. You know, what we think we can or we can't do will cause us to become distracted. You know, we can become so preoccupied by what we think that it distracts us from running our race. Persecution can be a distraction. Now, persecution, I would say, is good because it sharpens us up. Keeps us on our toes. But it can be a distraction because the enemy will use that and we'll suddenly start thinking, well, you know, what have I done? It's a tactic he uses to try and trip us up, to get us to get our eyes off of Jesus. Jesus warned us in Mark's Gospel about the distractions of this age. Things like the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things. How we occupy our leisure time can be a distraction. This is where it gets tough, because how we spend our leisure time can affect the way we run our race. Our interests, our leisure activities. Do we spend more time reading the newspaper than we do God's word? Do we spend more time watching the television or surfing the internet than we do praying? You know, do we spend our time doing other things, which aren't necessarily wrong, but they may distract us from running our race. Can you imagine what an athlete would do if she was running a race and her hair kept flopping down in front of her face? Or the guy playing football and he's got his keys and his chains jangling around in his short pocket. It becomes a distraction. What about the person that said, oh, because he's had a dodgy hamburger or something? They're distractions. And they've got to be laid aside. We've got to stay focused. Focused. Looking unto Jesus. That's the key. Looking unto Jesus. There was a woman in the Bible. Her name was Martha. She had a sister called Mary. Jesus went to their house on one occasion. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, at the end of the chapter you read this account, and it says that, the Bible says in Luke 10, says that Martha was distracted with much serving. She was doing something good. She was preparing for Jesus, preparing a meal, preparing to serve him. But it says she was distracted, and it says that Mary had chosen the right thing. Because what was Mary doing? She was focused on Jesus. The meal could wait. We're all for a nice meal. We like to have a nice meal, but sometimes the meal can wait. You know, it's, the focus was on Jesus. That was the key. And Jesus said to Mary something important. He said, one thing is needed. Just one thing, and Mary's chosen that one thing. Mary's chosen that good part. You know, she was focused on Jesus. There was another man in the scriptures. His name was David, King David. By this time he was king. The Ark of God had been captured. And it had spent, I think it was something like 20 years or so, in the house of a man called Obed-Edom. And David decided one day it was time that the Ark of God came back to Jerusalem. And so he put this plan into operation to bring the Ark of God back. And he, as he was doing this, the Bible says there in 2 Samuel chapter 6 that he went ahead of the procession of the Ark of God, and he said he would dance before the Lord with all his might. He was having a good time. He was rejoicing that the Ark of God had come back to Jerusalem. He was praising God with everything he had. But his wife was in the palace looking out the window, and she observed her husband, King David. And he was dancing and he was twirling and he was making a big show of his excitement. And it says in the scriptures, it says that she saw him from the window and despised him in her heart. She was distracted by what she called his undignified behavior. You know, what do you think a king, that's not the behavior of a king. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I like to think this is what was going on in her mind. She's saying, you took the kingdom from my father, because her father was King Saul. My father would never have behaved like that in public. She was distracted. And you know what that cost her? Read it in the scriptures. The Bible says she was barren from that day on. It cost her. She fell out of her race. Now, Peter was distracted by circumstances. Martha was distracted by the cares of the world. Michael was distracted by things from her past which caused her jealousy, resentment, and bitterness. The athletes I mentioned at the beginning, they won their race. They received their prize because they were focused. They didn't allow distractions to hinder them. Roger Bannister crossed that finish, that tape, in less than 4 minutes because he was focused on the winning line. Dame Ellen crossed the finish line because she was focused on winning that race. Any other athlete that's run a race and won a medal will tell you that they were focused on the finish. And if we're going to run our race, we've got to stay focused. Don't let ourselves become distracted. You know what Paul writes? And I will finish with this verse. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3. Perhaps, let's just read it. Philippians 3 from verse 12 to 14. In Philippians 3 verse 12 it says this, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Do you hear that? One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know what he's saying here? He says, look, he says, I haven't finished my course yet. I haven't run my race. I'm still in the middle of my race. He says, but I'm not looking back. I'm not being distracted. Have you ever wondered what Jesus meant when he said that no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God? Because if you've got your hand on the plough and you're looking behind you, you are distracted. You're not looking where you're going. You're not focused on the job in hand. And you know what happens if you look behind you when you're trying to walk a straight line? You don't walk a straight line. Yeah, you're like this. But Paul writes, he said, look, I'm still running my race. I haven't arrived at the finish line. But I've got one thing to do, and that's stay focused. I'm pressing on. I'm going forward. I'm going for the goal. I'm going for the prize. I'm going for the crown. I'm going for the medal. I'm forgetting everything else. I'm pressing on. Now that's the mindset of an athlete. That should be our mindset. Involved in the race of faith. Why? Because when we stay focused, it produces patience and endurance. That means we can stay the course. When we stay focused, it produces certainty. That means we can be like Paul, who said in Romans 8, and we quoted the scripture yesterday at the house, Jane and I. You know where Paul says, I'm totally persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God. Why? He's totally persuaded. He's certain. He's focused on Jesus. And he says, I can say this with absolute certainty, that nothing can take me away from my course. Amen. When we stay focused, it produces a winning attitude. You've got to have that winning attitude in the race of faith. Otherwise the devil will just ride all over us. We're winners. We're on the winning side. Jesus already won the victory. We remembered it this morning. You know what? We're privileged today because we've got the end of the book. We've got the end of the book. We know what happens in the end. We're winners. We're on the winning side. And what else when we stay focused? I tell you what it produces. It produces the prize. We will overcome. Actually, that's what Paul said, didn't he? He said, look, he said, yeah, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's all I have for you this morning. It's, stay focused. Amen.